climate change. It, it's somewhat surprising, actually, there's been relatively little conversation, as we were discussing beforehand, on this topic, but it's clearly going to emerge eventually. So let's address it now. Linda, let me start with you. Governor Romney has said he believes the planet is warming, that humans contribute to this, but he's also said this is not a U.S. issue, but a global issue. The question is, does he believe that the free market alone can address climate change? Or does he think that the U.S. government has a role in addressing climate change? And if so, at what cost?
You're right in terms of where Governor Romney has, what he has said about climate. You're also right that he has said this is not a problem that can be addressed by the U.S. alone. I was struck last week when I learned that the annual energy outlook just published by the Department of Energy for 2012 projects that U.S. energy-related greenhouse gas emissions remain below 2005 levels all the way out to 2035, in part because of the sort of market forces, decarbonization, the efficiency initiatives, which Dan talked about, including CAFE. We are effectively decarbonizing our economy in ways that, again, would not have been foreseen. All the way through 2035, we will not be growing energy-related greenhouse gas emissions. Globally, the picture is quite different. If you look at the BP Energy Outlook, coal consumption grew more than 5% in 2011 globally, 8.4% in the non-OECD countries, led by Chinese consumption growth of almost 10%. So the notion that the U.S. can act unilaterally on carbon emissions and make a material difference in global greenhouse gases is not realistic. It will only hamstring our economy, and we need, and maybe take us down the path of Europe. Does that mean we need to continue working on technology? Yes, because that's got to be the answer here, not hamstringing our economy and further increasing joblessness.
So, as Linda said, there is good news. We have reduced greenhouse gas emissions. Globally, though, those emissions continue to rise. China, India, other developing countries, major increases we're seeing. Technology is part of the answer. I mentioned the administration's very strong support for advanced clean coal technology in a plant that is being backed in Texas that would be the first global demonstration in a large scale of carbon capture and storage. That's exactly the sort of thing we need to be commercializing and getting out there in the economy in an aggressive sort of way. So the plants that get built in other countries get built with carbon capture and storage. We need a binding international agreement on climate change. That is very clear. And the administration is continuing to pursue that. In the meantime, it's important that this country be working with other countries on how to, in a very practical way, deploy clean energy technology. And that's what these series of clean energy ministerials all over the world have been focused on in the last few years of the Obama administration. How do you get countries to understand the technologies that are available, begin the investments in them, to get them deployed, to begin to cut greenhouse gas emissions in a very practical way. And those clean energy ministerials are really beginning to bear some very positive fruit, both in helping these countries build towards a lower greenhouse gas future and help U.S. companies sell their products abroad.
Well, let me pick up on that point, though. What would your response be to a company or an industry representative who came to you and said, in the meantime, you're asking my company or my industry to be less competitive internationally because of the desire to address this issue domestically in the U.S.?
So where are we domestically in the U.S.? The Supreme Court ruled in Massachusetts versus EPA that carbon was a pollutant, and it said, EPA, go and set carbon standards. EPA is setting carbon standards right now. We are not currently in a regime, as I understand it, where the federal government is regulating carbon emissions. We're looking at a regulatory system for new plants that get built. So,
but we may be headed there.
We could be headed there for new plants. The good news is, as we're seeing, we're heading aggressively towards plants that can meet those standards. Coal plants with carbon capture and storage, natural gas fired plants with dramatic reductions versus coal in greenhouse gas emissions, renewable energy with zero greenhouse gas emissions. So these things are moving along in a parallel, quite logical way, I think.
Response?
Yeah, I mean, that is wishful thinking. I mean, the Congressional Budget Office just came out, I believe, this week or this month with an assessment of carbon capture and sequestration, and it is cost prohibitive without some sort of a carbon fee. I mean, the numbers just don't support the story that these other nations are gonna not use their coal. I mean, if you've been to India, if you've been to China, you know this. India doesn't have any other, they have very limited oil and natural gas resources, very limited renewable resources. They're gonna use coal, China's gonna use coal, and the notion that we can persuade them not to do that, I think is naive. What we can do is we have to keep the nuclear option alive. That is the best, really only baseload source of greenhouse gas, non-greenhouse gas emitting generation. And we have to be honest about what we can expect and what the technology is capable of. And if you insist on new coal plants meeting carbon capture and sequestration, there will be no new coal plants because it's not competitive. And if you, in a forward-going administration, the administration has not ruled out enacting greenhouse gas standards for existing plants, which would further put up the cost of electricity and wipe out the benefit of the gas. So this is something where Governor Romney has specifically said prior to the D.C. Circuit decision that he would not regulate greenhouse gases under the Clean Air Act, and I believe if it takes legislation, he would propose that.
Can I just quickly address one thing? I'm agreeing other countries will use coal. That has to be the assumption. We're in fact selling coal to them.
Absolutely.
We're mining lots of coal. So I'm in full agreement. Where I think we do differ is that I think we've made great progress in the private sector and public sector towards the ability to capture those emissions and do something useful with them and not have them go up into the atmosphere.
Let me ask you.
I think there's huge money to be made succeeding at that. And again, I'm now saying I apologize for the third time, but this major new plant being built in Texas with private sector investment and public sector investment is going to be a first step at demonstrating that.
Let me ask a follow-up question that goes further down that path. In a all-of-the-above energy strategy, what is the role of coal in an all-of-the-above energy strategy?
The role of coal is, you know, we're using a lot of it right now at highest use in years, and the administration is very aggressive about improving the technologies to enable us to continue to use it. To continue to support mining in a number of regions of the country where we're mining. So it is definitely a part of this all of the above strategy, emphasizing that as we move forward and continue to use it, we've got to be able to ratchet down on carbon emissions. And the good news there is that we're making good progress, actually great progress, in being able to capture carbon.
Well, Linda, a follow-up question for you as well in this area. If the answer is clean coal, what are we talking about specifically? Carbon capture technology, and is that prohibitive, as you sort of suggested a minute ago?
I believe it is right now, and more importantly, a lot of others who have looked at the studies, including the Congressional Budget Office recently, but utility folks that I know who really want to make this work because they're big coal burners, every time they look at it, it's more expensive, and every time the price of natural gas goes down, it's less competitive because that's competing on the margin. So yes, it needs to be part of the story, but the notion that, you know, we can not only, as we should, make them deal with genuine health issues associated with criteria air pollutants, NOx, SOx, air toxics, but we're going to make them go beyond that and try and no other coal burners in the world, but our coal burners are going to have to meet a standard of a natural gas cycle plant or carbon capture and sequestration, there will be no new coal plants, and there will not be an all-of-the-above strategy.
Well, that's why we've got to, you know, that's why a binding international agreement becomes important in the climate change context, so that everybody's playing on a level playing field. But we obviously have differing opinions about where this technology could go, but I do think the science is strong. It's a problem we've got to address. We've got an abundance of coal in this country and around the world. If we're going to continue to use it, and we're going to address this problem, we've got to put this technology in place. And I think the good news is we are coming down the cost curve, as we have with a number of other energy technologies.
I was just gonna say there are other issues even besides economics associated with carbon capture and sequestration, and my friends in Europe have, some of those projects have been canceled. There's enormous sensitivity about injecting things underground. How long is it going to stay there? What if it doesn't stay underground? There are sort of non-technical risks, non-economic risks associated with that, which we haven't even gotten to because we're still trying to deal with the front end.